Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast. It's great to have you back with us. I'm Jesse Tyler. I work for Hypertherm, a 55-year-old global manufacturing and technology company that is almost 2,000 owners strong. My job focuses on employee experience and engagement across career stages, from onboarding new hires to learning the stories and advice of our pending retirees. I do a lot with participatory decision-making forums like focus groups and problem busters and ownership culture recognition. So the goal of the Owner to Owner podcast is to have discussions about a wide range of ownership experiences and culture topics and bring more insight into the individual ownership experience so our listeners can hear their peers in ownership with new voices and perspectives. When we talk ownership, it is very common to hear we. Part of this conversation today with Web Industries is to hear the I within the we and the individual experience. A stretch goal of this project is that a business owner considering the employee ownership or the ESOP path hears the voices of their workers and our guests, gets a peek into the potential future for the company they built, their legacy, empowering the people they care about to become employee owners. The Owner to Owner podcast grew out of a friendship with Brett Kiesling, host of the EO Podcast Network. So what I'd like to do is introduce our guests. We have Jeremy with 28 years at Web Industries as a production supervisor, Stephen with 28 years as well, manufacturing operations too, and Rodney with 2 years at Web, a lead manufacturing operator. So if I could ask you to each share a little bit more, your name, your title, and a brief description of what you do, and then we can start our conversation. Jeremy, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself first, that'd be great.
Yeah, my name is Jeremy Goodwin. I'm the production supervisor here in Boston for the medical device assembly area. My day-to-day task is working and communicating with my team on tasks for the day, as well as scheduling and doing future scheduling, batch records, and planning. I've been with the company going on my 29th year, and it's a really day-to-day communication on the floor with the team, all different departments, communication-based role.
That's great. And I'm asking each of you for this because it's just wonderful to hear. You can hear titles and different companies can have similar titles, but the actual daily work for the employee owners can be very different. So I appreciate the insight. Stephen, can you share a little bit more about your title and a description of what you do, like the average day? Appreciate it.
My name is Stephen Holt, operator 2. I work in the Roche line. My day-to-day activities, I work a lot with training new individuals, help with the operations of what's going on. A lot of communication, since I know the area very well. Communication with different departments, supervisors, and things going on right now. I'm training a new operator. I forgot to mention, going on 29 years, actually 3 weeks after Jeremy. And
that's great.
That's what I'm doing now.
It's great. You guys grew up together.
We did.
Yeah, it's amazing because the tenure, we can get into this more if you want to talk about it as we get rolling in the conversation, is it's kind of wild to see the tenure at employee-owned companies compared to publicly traded companies. And 28 years doesn't sound out of line. It sounds more familiar. We have over 100 employees in our 25 years and up club. And when you go to some of the publicly traded companies, as the economy undulates, those clubs have gotten quite small. So it's great to hear a couple of you are 3 weeks apart come in your 29th year. Rodney, a little bit more about your title and what you do. Love the insight.
Yes. Hi, I'm Rodney Jaguer. I'm actually the lead manufacturing operator in the dry room. I oversee a lot of training as far as different positions on, mostly on a flow wrapper. I'm involved with the AGR as far as the device assembly. Do a lot of scheduling and communication a lot with the Jeremy. Him and I keep a lot of communication amongst each other, make sure everything's running smoothly in a dry room. I actually come from a company of 32 years to come here. One of the biggest decisions for that was the employee ownership. And it was a decision that I made. And so far, I feel it is a it was a smart move to make. I love the company. I love the idea of the employee ownership, and I'm very happy to be here.
That's great. That's great. So I want to come back to that as we get farther into the questions, if you're game to be thinking about some of that decision making and what's different, what's the same after 32 years at a prior company. And just so that you all know, you know, my view on ownership, my passion about it is driven by how it impacts all employee owners, of course. but I'm inspired by how it impacts rank and file, essential workers, the doers, the makers, the fixers, the production folks, the forklift drivers that can often get left out of the job quality and security, the personal wealth building that others in the same company have access to. And frankly, I'm amazed at how it can change the trajectory and wealth building for those that would be the first to be laid off. So if there's more job security, more job quality for folks that are the doers and makers, that will forever be exciting to me and to see that. So I appreciate you taking time. I know Webb is very busy and I know you have critical roles in manufacturing. So I really appreciate you taking some time to sit down and talk about ownership. So with that in mind, Jeremy, if you want to start us off, I'm going to ask a couple similar questions to try to suss out, as they would say, the slight nuances or differences about talking about ownership. So we'll start with, when you're out in the world, you're around folks that may know nothing about, may have no idea, a clean slate when it comes to employee ownership. How do you talk about employee ownership around them?
I try to simplify it down to one of the biggest keys to me is it's horizontal management instead of vertical. That's a way I like to put it. When people start asking me more about it, I have a go-to that I go to and I show them a video of my very first boss that was actually at a conference with President Clinton. It's pretty cool to see somebody wearing the same shirt as me speaking to the president about employee ownership.
Yeah.
So those are the two things I use. It's, you know, horizontal versus vertical, and just something somebody can look at and be like, oh, wow, this is for real.
That's fantastic. Steven, what are your thoughts when you're out in the world and you talk to folks that don't know about employee ownership? How do you talk about it?
What I normally talk about, it involves the people. You know, many places, people don't really care as much. So a lot of things that have come to me when I speak to others is that the people in an employee-owned company here at Webb, they care more about what's going on, you know, the individual and things like that. And that's one of the reasons why I've stayed so long. You know, it's not a constant battle with, you know, personalities and such. It's not perfect, but, you know, the average person that you deal with, they care.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it's one thing to get mad at each other when you're trying to solve a problem in a production crisis. I know that as soon as the solution is there, you'll be fine and it's a bygone. It's very different if there's a constant grind of, you know, not feeling safe, not feeling heard and that. So that's great that after going to your 29th year together, you and Jeremy are still getting along and swinging for the fences for
sort of
for Webb. So Rodney, you are newer to ownership and everyone takes their own time to kind of get their trust, their understanding, their voice for it. What do you say about ownership a couple years in? What do you say? How do you talk about employee ownership when you're out in the world away from owners?
The way I look at it and talk about it is, because pretty much where I worked for 32 years, I was very young. So pretty much it was all I've known my whole life until coming to Webb. And working where I did for 32 years, you know, kind of a mix between what Jeremy said and what Steve said, I was used to having an owner and, you know, and his children running the company to where, you know, when they walk in the room, you basically, you got to watch what you're doing. And, you know, being an employee owner, you know, everybody that I work with, number one, incredible people. That's number one. Two, everybody treats everybody equally. You know, you walk around, you're a team. There's nobody better than each other. And the way to come to work and feel like that is incredible. So for the last 2 years, I've met some incredible people. I've learned the new way of life as far as the way I work. And it's just, I don't know, I would recommend it to anybody. And I was very skeptical before I left where I was at. I never heard of employee ownership. So I was skeptical. And, you know, I put all the chips into right on the table, came here, and I just think it's just great. I can't say it any other way except for it's just an amazing way to come to work.
And that's great.
I
appreciate you sharing that. So the question I wanted to ask next, I'd like to start with you, because when you're talking about 32 years and 32 years plus, so forgive me for saying this way, a third of a century is a long time to be at an employer and then decide to jump off for this thing that sounds kind of cool or people have vouched for. I'm curious, specific to your, you know, 2 years in, when you describe ownership to your friends and family, what is that like? How do you talk about it? What have you shared?
I've just shared my experience since the time that I've been here. as far as, you know, what I was saying earlier. And you actually, everybody's aware of what's going on as far as financials and how the wealth is just spread around, just not seeing all of your hard work going into one person's pocket. And knowing that your future and your retirement is going to be so much better. And that's how I explain it to them. It's just it's a whole new way of looking at your employment.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Stephen, love to hear your thoughts on your insights on how you describe ownership to your friends and family. Can you share those with us?
Yes. A lot of times when I first talked to my wife over the years, I graduated with a degree in business and economics, and she'd always over the years been saying, oh, you should be a manager, you should be, you know, have some type of position. And what I found was, based on some of the things we talked about already, and with the people being supportive within the company, the peace of mind aspect of things, not having that grind, because I had done managing in other areas, and boy, was it tough. And so I found that being in this environment, you know, peace of mind, you can't put a price on it. You know, not having to struggle every day with conflicts and such has kept me here for the time that I've been. So when I say to other people, I talk a lot about that support system and dealing with people who are not out to get you. You know, it's so much different. And that's what's kept me in my role and being here at Webb.
That's great. That's great. Jeremy, can you share your thoughts when you're with your friends and family, how you talk about it, how they've heard you talk about it?
Yeah, similar to some of the other things that were just mentioned from Rodney and Steve, I'm big on explaining that it's really a team environment, that people really care about each other. It's not your typical place where, like everybody says, you have your upper management, your bosses. We do have that structure that we follow, but it's an open door policy. Team collaborates. Usually you don't get, I mean, we all have our stressful days, but we help each other out. Even when you go home after a bad day, it's not as bad as it could be somewhere else, I don't think, just because of the teamwork we have, the collaboration we have. And it's an open door thing. Like I said, I can go to my upper line, to my team, to different parts of our company to get support where I need it. And, you know, you bring some of that home with you, because it just shows that, you know, we're here during the week more than we are at home or with our family. So this place becomes kind of like family to you, especially after the time we've all been here. Like, you know, Steve and I know each other about a lot of our kids. I've gotten really close with Rodney. We know some stuff about our personal lives with each other. So it's kind of a special thing. You don't just come in, do your hours and go home. You kind of care about the people, not just the job. So that's how I describe it. And it shows when I go home to my family and friends.
That's great. That's great. So I'm curious for a little bit of a carry that forward a little bit farther. How is a leadership position different? If you describe what it's like to be a leader at a traditional company, publicly owned or private, versus being at Webb, being at an employee-owned company, how is it different? If you look out at your team and everybody's voice matters and they're full of ideas and full of velocity and momentum and energy and questions, how is leadership, as a production supervisor, how is leadership different for you in the EO world?
Real-time communication, face-to-face conversations, listen to what they have to say, be open to their opinions and thoughts. Even when we have the tough disagreements, honesty is key. It's not a black and white situation, you know, treat each other humanly. There's rules we follow, but there's also, I have the leniency as a supervisor to take one-on-one basis with situations, which more humanizes it to me, which earns the trust of my team, I believe. I think the biggest thing is trust and collaboration. So that's how I run my team. I think my team would agree that we have a good trust factor. And I don't think you'd get that in a regular company where it's just pushing numbers out, doing as much as you can, as little amount of hours as you can do it, or just mandating things. You know, we talk through things. If we're in a pinch and we're behind schedule, we come up with creative ways. How can we shave time off this job instead of just saying, hey, I need you guys to work Saturday? And my team does all that work. I just collaborate it. I let the team kind of run it. And when we have to make a decision, we will. But it's very team oriented.
That's great. Stephen, do you want any thoughts on perspective on leadership and employee-owned company?
Well, much of what, you know, Jeremy, I would agree. I think it's more horizontal, as Jeremy had mentioned, so that I can talk to the president of the company if he's in the building, talk to the leaders that are here in terms of anything that's, you know, what's happening, they'll let me know. And so I think they're open, they'll listen. They may not always agree with what I like, but, you know, it's much different than my prior experiences with bosses and those who were leading. It was more like in those other places, you know, do as you're told sort of thing. And here it's more solution based. And so there's also a give and take on what some of those solutions might be, and they're more open.
That's great. That's great. Rodney, since you're going third, I'm going to give you kind of a refreshed question.
Okay.
So it's your choice on which side you want to answer. What was the best advice that you got moving into a leadership role in employee ownership? Or now that you're settled in and thriving and you have to help raise a new leader, what would be the first thing you would give them as advice? So you can kind of pick whichever one feels best to you.
I think I would like to give some advice to probably somebody that's going into a leadership role here with an ESOP company. In the past, you know, I've always been I was a supervisor before I came here. And, you know, what I found through the years is, you know, the more respect that you would give somebody and the more you get to know somebody, you know, the harder they would work for you. But in an ESOP company, it's basically the same. The difference to me, I would tell them, is in an ESOP company, just give an individual more voice, you know, listen, and, you know, the ideas that, you know, a team can come together getting is more important than just the idea of one person. So that's what I would do, because as a team, as in an ESOP company, you know, it's almost like everybody wants to work a lot harder in an ESOP company because we're all thriving to get to the same place. And, you know, at the end, it's all shared equally. And, you know, in a normal company, you know, you're all working hard, but you all know that, you know, the wealth ain't being spread, and you're working harder in an ESOP company. So give more voice to the people that are working under you and be more of a team than an individual.
That's great. That's great. So I want to ask, what does ownership mean to you? And I thought it'd be fun for Rodney, who's already clearly gotten very close to teammates Jeremy and Steven, who are into their 29th year. So I want to let Rodney go first. Just an open question, first things that come to mind. What does employee ownership mean to you, Rodney?
Employee ownership, just since I've gotten here, the camaraderie is just so much better than in a company that's not employee owned. And again, you know, what you're working towards is your future. And you can make that future much better working with a full team. And I don't know, it's hard to describe on my part. I've only been here for the 2 years, but that's kind of in a nutshell how I would explain it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. You gave a valuable, insightful answer. And I will probably, after this conversation, be a little bit more respectful and say this isn't necessarily an easy question I'm asking. It's the big question. You have this unique work experience, this wealth building experience. You know, what does it mean to you? So, Stephen, if you want to follow on, what does ownership mean to you?
Ownership. Well, I think about communication and collaboration to share in the company's wealth. That's it in a nutshell.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
So mine, I've been asked this several times over the years, and I broke it down in a semi-corny way, but it's the way I always answer it. It's an acronym for ESOP. It's employees sharing ownership passionately. By passionately, I mean teamwork, collaboration, and sharing the wealth.
That's wonderful. Employees sharing ownership passionately.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We ask early on, I'm going to do our two-day culture intensive for our newest hires. And half of the group started on Monday. And we'll be asking them on Friday afternoon, what does ownership mean to you? And so, Rodney, for you with your 2 years in, it's amazing how on day five, the answers can have a similar message and tone. They're always different, which is fascinating, having asked well over 1,000 people that question and heard their answers. I've never got the same answer twice. But it's just amazing to me that in day five, they can mirror statements of asking some of our pre-retirement folks at some of their celebrations that it's not always the easiest thing to talk about, but it's just really interesting to hear different ways that people can convey it. So I appreciate your openness for that. So you've used some great words along the way with, you know, passion, camaraderie, connection, collaboration, impact, togetherness. So I want to have a little bit of fun. And if you are able to limit yourself to three words, what three words would you use in this moment, this conversation, to describe ownership if you only got three? Jeremy, if you want to kick us off.
Oh, I would say accountability, caring, and trusting.
Trust. accountability, care, and trust. Awesome. Stephen, three words, if you're able to do it, because most guests have a hard time containing themselves, which is totally fine and part of the insight. But if you can do it in three, Stephen, what would you have three words for ownership?
Empowerment, collaboration, and trust.
Excellent. All right, Rodney, your turn. Three words.
I would have to say friendship. Actually, instead of friendship, I'd have to say relationships. I'm trying to think of different words because they got some good ones. Relationships, learning, and I don't know.
That's all right. Well, let's go with relationships and learning. I think it's great to bring up the learning. And if you weren't aware, I actually got to visit one of my favorite employee ownership experiences outside Hypotherm. It might be my top, is that I got to invited by you guys. Seven years ago, I was doing a year-long project about ownership statements, what it means at Hypotherm, did a lot of research, and was interviewing other companies and interviewed Webb and Hypotherm have had a long relationship, great friends in the ESOP world. And you invited us down, a couple of us down to your planning day, and it was absolutely mind-blowing to see how much everybody in every role knew about the company, knew about how the business worked, and how much it was collaborative for the planning time. You know, it's usually C-suite. That's traditional. I'm not being critical, you know, top level leaders, and then it kind of filters down. I was totally blown away by how knowledgeable all of you were, how engaged all of you were, and how much you were kind of challenging each other and challenging your higher level leaders to think about things. So if I just wanted to share that from my own experience with some time down with you guys. So I want to go back to, I'd mentioned, you know, the onboarding. We hire around 200 people a year. So we have quite an onboarding program trying to help people get up to speed. Let's say you have a new teammate. What's your way of helping this ownership thing make sense? Like, how do you help them understand it, get their hands around it? Rodney, let's say you got a new teammate. How do you talk to them about ownership and starting to understand it?
Well, I would definitely tell them to, you know, look at the company's past history. That'll teach them a lot as far as how it all started. And, you know, read up if you've never heard of employee ownership before, you know, read up on that. And I would just say to, you know, continue to work hard and, you know, make your investment in the company to stay there and put your years in and just get as much out of it as you can and put as much into it as you can. And
that's great advice. Jeremy, Stephen, do you want to add anything or second his motion?
Yeah, no, I agree with some of that. The only other thing I would say is always, you know, as to get them to act as the culture we want, lead by example and have them follow.
Can you repeat the question?
So you've got a new coworker on your team. You've had a long running start to get your hands around this ownership thing. And often, you know, employee ownership companies see new employees, it can take a little while to sort of figure it out and kind of find their own voice. How do you help a new coworker understand ownership at Webb?
Well, one of the things I talk about is the ESOP, you know, which is obviously a long-term thing, especially if someone's new and younger, sort of the carrot. You know, while culture is awesome, there's also a carrot at the end of the at the end of things. And one of the things I tell them is, since I'm older, a lot of times I'll tell them, you know, you are my retirement, so I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you're successful.
Awesome.
So it's kind of trying to make them, you know, Jeremy knows this. I mean, this is one of the things that, you know, younger people that come in are retirement. So it's our view that to give them as much help, support, and everything we can do for their success. And then in a way that's kind of demonstrates employee ownership in kind of an indirect way to tell them that we care.
That's fantastic. Yeah, after this conversation, I want to share that with Jenny Levy. She's our executive vice president for her human resources and just passionate about ownership and how to convey it. And I think she's going to absolutely love that. That's fantastic. I'm smiling just in response. So I appreciate this is what the podcast is for. This is what these conversations are for, is to help bring insight to it so other manufacturing leaders can hear you share things and they can hear themselves in it. So I really appreciate the conversation we're having. So I want to ask, what's one thing that you feel that Webb Industries does really well with ownership culture that you want to share out? This is intended really as a pride statement, but also it's a great opportunity for other ESOPs to take a fresh view, and you can do a little teaching in the employee ownership community. Jeremy, what's something that Web Industries does well and ownership culture you're willing to share?
One thing we always do and we always have done is, coming from the founder, was, you know, share everything, open information, teach ownership, teach culture. We have our core values. They preach those. We try to follow those. And it holds true from plant meetings to just on the floor stuff to communication. It's just the culture we have.
That's great. That's great. Steven, what's something Web does great with ownership culture you can share out?
I think one of the big things, piggybacking a little bit on what Jeremy was saying, is one of the main quotes from our founder was the essence of life, our relationships. And we've touched upon it in many of the questions and our answers. And ultimately, that's one of the things that is fostered throughout, is the relationships we have with each other. A lot of that deals with communication, collaboration, and all the things that we do. And it boils down to that one statement. And, you know, the core values, much of those deal with relationships. And, you know, I think our founder had that correct.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Ownership is the foundational values being lived as behaviors. That's what it is. It's the foundational values. It's not like an ordinary company becomes an ESOP and then everything is magically delicious. It's sustain and thrive and go through hard times like are likely ahead for all of us. And as the economy undulates, it's, you know, when in doubt, take the foundational values out and kind of re-energize and go forward from there. Rodney, what's something that you see, something you're proud of, something that's exciting about the Web Industries ownership culture that you want to share?
I think one thing that Web does incredibly a good job with as far as culture is, you know, based on what the founder, Bob Fulton, you know, wanted, is, you know, the people that I think that their hiring process here is tremendously great, because one of the important things that they always keep in mind when they hire a new employee owner here is, you know, culture is very important. The way, you know, the way that you're going to come into the company, the way you're going to treat others, the way you're going to come in here and, you know, be a part of it. I think they do an incredible job with that. I haven't seen many instances where that becomes an issue. So if you were to ask me, that would be where I think they do an incredible job as far as their hiring process to keep the culture very strong here at Web.
That's great. That's great. And that's what we're looking for. Some wise advice and pride in your insights into the Web Industries culture with that. All right. So I want to move us towards the EO aha moment for each of you. So we ask all of our guests, it's not the first time you've heard about employee ownership or even when you started to like it. What we're looking for is your personal moment when you said the kind of aha, this is going to be different. This is going to be a game changer. So if you've had an EO aha moment that you're willing to share, we'd love to hear it. So Rodney, 2 years in, what was your EO aha moment?
Huh. I've actually had a couple of them.
You can have more than one.
Well, I'd have to say what mine would be is, you know, I came in from being a supervisor. When I came here, there was no supervisor positions available. Since then, I've applied for a couple of positions, which was like the lead position first. And then I applied for a supervisor position, which I did get that position, which I was incredibly pleased with. It's something that I was aiming for. Unfortunately, you know, things happened with the COVID. So that supervisor role was a very short-lived situation, but it was a great moment for me to know that Web believed and trusted in me to giving me a position like that, and looking forward to hopefully get an opportunity like that again.
That's great. Thank you very much for sharing that. Did you have another you wanted to share? I don't want to put you on the spot here.
When I got my ESOP statement, I'd have to say that was a pretty incredible moment too. The amount of years that I worked for a normal company and seeing, you know, what went into my retirement to what I have done so far here at Web was just, that's another incredible moment for me.
That's great. What I like about your shares, and for Jeremy and Stephen, you don't necessarily also have to have two. We're looking for one. If you have more, we would love to hear them. But I like, Rodney, about what you did. I think you've, in your own way, you've sort of summed up the way that we talk about, the way I talk about ownership culture. So ESOP this and ESOP that. Yes, we're ESOP. But fundamentally, to a new employee, the reality is an ESOP is a retirement vehicle like a 401k or other vehicle like that. The daily experience, how it feels to go to work, be feeling respected, liking the people you're with, that's how we talk about it. Sort of that's the ownership experience. So they're kind of not talking about them as one kind of ball together. It's the daily experience, and then it's also the joy of opening up your certificate and seeing how things have gone. So to bring us back to Stephen, do you have an EOA moment that you would like to share?
Wow. Well, perhaps a couple, but I think way back working in well, we had a dark room where we used to do photo paper. You know, the first wow moment was when the Webb sent us to North Carolina to the plant of the company we were going to do work for. And I thought that was pretty special that they sent the whole group who would be working on that customer's product to see and to build relationships with the new company that we were going to be working for. That was a long time ago. And I think the other thing that was kind of piggybacking on Rodney, it was almost 10 years ago when we found that our stock values doubled in one of the years because of how we were doing in other areas that we were building. And, you know, it's almost a continuous wow moment, you know, when we do get our statements. And for us who are older, it's one of the things that I say to everyone who's starting that's new, that it's something that all, we're as good as all the executives out in other companies. We work on the floor and we have something that, you know, many other people do not have, and we're very grateful.
That's great. That's great. This is the kind of insight that we're looking for. I appreciate it. Jeremy, do you want to share an EO aha moment?
Yeah. So two, the first one's going to be the same as those two, the ESOP statement, the very first one, and then some of the very good ones and even the not so good ones. It's a eye-opening moment. But mine that opened my eyes originally was a long time ago. It was actually before I started. It was my interview. I knew this place was different. My interview consisted of 10 people in a circle with me, which a lot of people would find intimidating. I thought it was super cool because it was 80% my peers, and then two managers or supervisors from different departments. But what would be my peers, I think, made the decision. So I got a feel for who and what the place was like before I chose to come here. And because they picked me, it was like Steve said, they were invested in training me. So when I came on board, I was already part of the team because they knew who I was. They interviewed me. So I thought that was pretty cool. And that opened my eyes about employee ownership mostly, was that aspect of it. And then when the stock statement came in, that kind of opened my eyes even more.
That's great. Yeah. What kind of message are you sending to the folks? It's harder and harder to hire. It's only going to get more and more challenging. What kind of message are you sending to the candidate's experience, you know, when they come into the company? And so, yeah, a group interview can be startling and really intense. But if you're willing to take it as it is, it's also, you know, vulnerability by the company to say, this is who we are and this is who you're going to go through good and bad times with. What do you think? You know, ideally, you know, the interview goes both ways. So good for Webb and great that you weren't shaken by that and it helped you make that call. So I want to come back to a question about what keeps you coming back. But because you opened the door for employment, I want to give you each a chance. Jeremy, you can kind of pick up where you left off with your interview experience. Why should somebody who's looking for a job consider coming to work at Webb Industries? This is, I'm trying to amplify the opportunity for you to find more employee owners. So shamelessly, openly, speaking to them directly, why would you encourage folks to come work at Webb and join you?
A, it's financially rewarding as an owner. You own a piece of the company with the stocks and the benefits. B, there's opportunities to grow and get groomed here with the culture that we provide. We don't hold people back. We don't make false promises either, but we don't hold people back. We try to groom and try to make it so they would grow. And it's a place where we want them to want to be here. I'm big on that during interviews. I kind of get a feel for what they're looking for. But that's what I push, is opportunities to grow, part of a caring team, and you do share in some of the wealth.
That's great. That's great. Steven, your turn. Speaking to open promotion of web, why it's great to work there.
Well, it's great to work here because of the environment, supportive. There are opportunities financially, as Jeremy was saying, that you have a greater opportunity to share in the rewards that you wouldn't in most other places. And then peace of mind. There's something about the peace of mind, being able to have the relationships here where it's not a constant struggle.
That's great. That's great. That's great. Rodney, for you, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I think it's kind of easy on one nutshell. It's basically the same as far as what Jeremy and Steve said. It's just when you come to work here, you know, the comfort level of coming to work every day. I know I don't wake up every day saying, I don't want to come to work. I don't feel like going to work. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I know that I'm going to work. I'm very comfortable. The learning processes that's here, that's even a comfort level too. That, you know, they give you the time to learn new things if you're willing. And like Steve said in the past, if, you know, like he likes to stay in his role, there's no problem with you staying in a role. But either way, they work with you both ways. The financial situation working towards retirement is incredible. And basically, I don't know, it's kind of the same. I feel the same as far as everything as Jeremy and Steve said.
It's just that's great.
Not much more that you can say except for those few great things. And that's you know, all you would need to know to come here to work at Web.
All right. Well, I appreciate the insights. So I have one last question for you. I want to acknowledge that we are in historically stressful and challenging times. And we're finding it really interesting to just to ask the big, broad question, you know, in these times, what keeps you coming back? Rodney, do you want to share your thoughts first? What keeps you coming back in these times?
To web?
Yeah, just how do you keep going? We're hearing incredible stories with, you know, business challenges, personal challenges, just through COVID and the economy shifting. And so I want to give you the opportunity that, you know, it takes an incredible drive to keep going in these times. So what keeps coming back?
The thing that drives me to keep coming back is to know that Web is always looking for new things, just like the medical business that we're in now. They're always out looking for new opportunities. And with new opportunities becomes more areas that you can learn and to help. I mean, there's so many things that we've done, incredible things in the past 2 years alone, just with COVID. And I'm honored to know that I was part of that. And I'm honored to know that I work here and to, you know, think of what more opportunities are going to come in the future.
Thank you for that. So Stephen and Jeremy, this is a slightly different question with going into your 29th year. So Stephen, what keeps you coming back?
Well, this is kind of a selfish thing, but what really keeps me going is the ESOP. And, you know, the web has done a very good job with, you know, the pay. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, with the ESOP, it gives me something to think about where I can retire earlier than most people. And I'm truly grateful.
That's great. Jeremy.
Similar stuff, I would say. My team, my coworkers, and my ESOP.
That's great. I really appreciate at a busy company like Web, the three of you willing to take an hour and settle in and talk about ownership, share your experiences, share your insights and advice. That's what we do the Owner to Owner podcast for. We do this for Brett Kiesling and the EO Podcast Network. And these are exactly the kinds of conversations that we're excited by and excited to amplify and share the insight and message out what Web is so good at and known in the ESOP world. So it's great to get to meet all of you. So a thank you to our panel with Jeremy, Stephen, and Rodney from Web Industries. Thank you to our listeners. I appreciate your patience with a little hitch on my audio there a couple times. This is the joys of recording between two manufacturing companies. So thanks for rolling with that. And always try to close with join employee ownership, think employee ownership, buy employee ownership. That can also include co-ops, their different form of ownership. But a big thank you to the Web team. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.